B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Here's a flag as... That's Mason Rudolph got
needs to get out of there.
What in the world? Believe Miles Garrett? They'll be swinging a helmet?
Yeah, there'll be some ejections coming out of this.
There may be suspensions.
That's right, suspensions. Beyond words,
oh,
Joe.
Gosh, that's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
All right, there you go. That's what happened last night. That's what everyone's talking about, and we'll definitely get to it here on an agenda-free Friday from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. I'll give you our sponsorship info here in a second, but everyone is in studio and ready to go. You know the number. It's 617-779-0985. We'll give you opening thoughts while you load up. We will, again, give you those opening thoughts, and we'll go to you when you are ready. Maz, what are your opening thoughts today on agenda-free Friday?
I'm just going to have Murray go first.
Yeah, I'll go first. Is everyone okay? Have we calmed down? Do I need to send a therapy dog to your home so you can cope with what you saw last night? This Miles Garrett thing, immediately, like on social media, immediately, it is a microcosm of everything I hate about everything in the world today. The outcry, the moral hand-wringing, the sanctimonious think pieces. What is happening to our precious sports? What are they doing to our sports? And if you disagree, and if you dare not join in the outrage for outrage, well, then you're a monster. Just like Miles Garrett, who should be thrown out of the NFL and charged with felony assault. How dare you not think like the rest of us, Jim? How dare you, you monster? The self-righteous Mike Florios, the Nana Peter Kings, Damian Woody this morning on ESPN, and all the other usual suspects who can be summed up in one tidy soundbite. Jimmy, can you pull me up, please?
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
The level of obnoxiousness from people like this is as predictable as it is putrid. Here's the reality of the situation of last night. Miles Garrett was obviously wrong. Miles Garrett is now indefinitely suspended. Mason Rudolph was fine. He wasn't concussed. He had a headache. Nothing worse than that happened. It's a violent sport with a moment that got out of hand. That's it. Nothing more. It happened. It was also wildly entertaining. So to all the moral arbiters and polite society, go F yourselves and get over yourselves. That's it. That's really all I have to say about the situation.
It's well said. Yes, no, very well said. Yeah, I'll get this out of the way quickly because, frankly, I know nobody gives a rat's ass, but it bothered me, so it's agenda-free Friday, and I'm going with it. Okay, there you go. Mookie Betts finished ahead of Rafael Devers in the American League MVP voting. I have to believe that somewhere here, war was a factor. Like, somewhere, somebody looked at a list and said Mookie Betts finished ahead of Rafael Devers in war, and so, therefore, Mookie Betts should be higher on the ballot than Rafael Devers is, which I think is asinine. I really do. If you watch the Red Sox this year, you know there were two guys on that team worth watching in terms of everyday players. Two freaking guys. Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers. That's it. The a-holes who put Mookie Betts ahead of Rafael Devers on the ballot either didn't watch the games or, like everybody else in baseball right now, are making a decision based on paper. That's it. That's it. That's the whole thing now. It bugs the crap out of me because I thought Mookie Betts was one of the more disappointing players on the team. As an aside, and I give thanks to this to Jimmy Stewart, our producer, the Red Sox, for the first time since 2011, had three guys finish in the top 12 of the MVP voting. 2011 and 2019. Isn't that perfect? That the Red Sox get individual honors in years like that, where they are the most disappointing teams in recent Red Sox history. That they had all kinds of talent individually. They had three guys in the top 12, and they missed the playoffs. In 2011, they had a historic collapse. Somewhere in there, there's a lesson.
Okay, so my opening take is following up again on that fight last night. Miles Garrett suspended indefinitely, meaning, you know, for all intents and purposes, for the rest of the year. Do you think that is too stiff, Jim?
No, I figured that was going to happen. Rest of the year in the playoffs, if that team happens to squeak in, and that's a fair suspension.
I agree. I think
he deserved it.
Yes, absolutely, for the rest of the year. Should he be brought up on criminal charges?
No.
Okay. Three games for Marquise Pouncey for defending Landry, the Mason Rudolph.
Yeah,
God,
please.
For defending Mason Rudolph and punching and kicking Garrett on the ground. Three games for Marquise Pouncey. Is that right?
I figured it'd be about that, two or three.
It's about right. It wouldn't have bothered me if it was a little stiffer. He shouldn't get what Garrett got. But, you know, if he got four games, I wouldn't have complained. I'm not going to quibble over one game.
I thought three games was too much. I thought he should have gotten a game. I think there should be extenuating circumstances for when your quarterback gets clubbed over the head with a helmet. You're allowed to then defend him, and you're allowed to stomp him a little bit on the ground, which is what he did. He stomped him a little bit. And so that's the only part of the whole thing that I think was I don't agree with. I think Pouncey should have gotten one game. I don't think Pouncey should have gotten more than one game. Ogunjobi got a game for shoving Rudolph down with his helmet off and sort of his back turned towards him. I think that's fair just for the sheer puss nature of that. Like, that was the biggest puss move of the whole thing. A quarterback standing there with his back turned to you, didn't see it coming, and you throttle him to the ground. But, you know, that wasn't the worst thing I saw either. He just shoved him to the ground.
Yeah.
He was fine. But just for that, you know, I think a game is fine. My issue is sort of the overreactions on all sides of it. There's some people who think that Mason Rudolph should get a suspension.
No way.
That's silly.
For what?
No way.
For trying to rip the other guy's helmet off? You don't suspend a guy for trying to rip a helmet off. I mean, if you rip it off and then swing it at the guy, yes.
Yeah.
But if you're just attempting to rip a helmet off, is that suspension worthy?
No way.
I mean, fine him.
No way.
If you wanted to give him a personal foul in the moment, for sure. Yeah,
oh, that's, absolutely.
I mean, that's where the personal foul, no question.
Yep.
But just trying to take a helmet off, I don't think should be suspension
worthy. It's not suspension worthy.
And people who are saying that, you know, Mason Rudolph started it or sort of, I mean, that's, yeah, he started the scrap. So he's complicit in a generic football scrap. What he did was not asking to get clubbed in the head with a helmet.
Yeah, to me, the two transgressions that stuck out to me over everything else were obviously Garrett and Pouncey kicking a guy on the ground. I mean, that's bad.
But
I think that's bad.
That's a game. That's a game. Extenuating circumstances. The guy ripped his quarterback's helmet off and clubbed him with it over the head.
Oh, yeah. No. You can't. He can't get enough as far as I'm concerned.
I'm sorry. I think that deserves a little bit of a response. So I thought Pouncey should have gotten a little bit less than three games. But the criminal complaint business, like, would you please?
That's really what set me off. That stuff's been out of control.
And I, you know, I mean, I don't mind you bringing it up or, you know, law enforcement sort of just taking a look at it, because there is precedent. In hockey, if you use your stick as a weapon, there's been incidents in hockey over the years. So that's happened with McSorley.
Bertuzzi.
Sure.
And Dino Cicerelli way back in the day. Like, so there is sort of legal precedent there. So I get it. If you use a stick, or in this case your helmet, as a weapon, that's happened in the past. And so we're just going to look at that. But I just hate that slippery slope. So you're going to bring McSorley up on criminal charges. So now Zdeno Chara is going to get arrested for checking a guy into a boards. And if you criminally cite Miles Garrett for that, then are you going to criminally cite Randall for the headshot that made the guy's ear bleed, you know, earlier on
right. In
the game?
Right.
Like, so it's, I just think it's got to be egregious, egregious, egregious. And that thing was pretty egregious, but not criminally, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, look, I generally separate the two. I mean, anything that happens in the course of a sporting event, to me, is sort of in the heat of the moment. And so they're not, you know, I don't put them in the real world arena. I don't. Now, if it's bad enough, I mean, if a guy, like, walks across the field with his helmet in his hand and goes over and absolutely belts a guy in the face on the other sideline, well, then we could talk about it.
So let me tell you what Garrett's lucky. He hit him with the bottom of the helmet, and it didn't hurt him. Okay, so Garrett could have done the exact same thing. And if he got him with the top, the crown of the helmet,
that thing's thick,
and it opened up, you know, if it concussed him or knocked him out, then I think he would be up on criminal. So he's lucky that
he's lucky he didn't get hurt.
He's lucky that Rudolph, you know, immediately didn't lose his balance, even just turned around and immediately started complaining to the ref and wasn't hurt at all. So he's really lucky there. If Rudolph was hurt
or if it was prone on the field, or if there was blood. You know, if the visual were worse, Garrett, and I don't think he should be. You know, it's just, this is just where the result sort of comes into
play.
So he's really lucky in that regard. I'll say this, I was kind of impressed with some of the Browns' reaction right after the game. The Browns played a dirty ball game. Oh, by the way, you know, there were headshots all over the place. They knocked out Smith-Schuster. That ear hole shot by
was unbelievable.
Randall on the kid, he's literally, the ear was bleeding. He was bleeding out the ear. It was a vicious game.
That Smith-Schuster thing might have been the dirtiest thing of the night to me.
And Cleveland was taking headshots all night. Okay, so they came into the game with that mindset, and I believe that too. But then after the game, they sort of called it out. They called it out for what it was. Like, play Baker Mayfield and Aaron Andrews. Here's just Baker Mayfield walking off the field on the postgame.
What was your reaction as you were watching it unfold?
I didn't see why it started, but it's inexcusable. I don't care, rivalry or not, we can't do that. That's kind of the history of, you know, what's been going on here lately, hurting yourself, and that's just endangering the other team. That's inexcusable. He knows that. I hope he does now. It's tough. We'll see.
Mason Rudolph, a friend of yours, Myles Garrett, a teammate of yours. What were you saying to your teammates over there to kind of calm everybody down?
I don't think there's anything in that moment that I can really say to calm him down. You know what? The reality is he's going to get suspended. We don't know how long, and that hurts our team. And we can't do that. We can't continue to hurt this team. It's inexcusable.
So, like, he called out on both fronts, which is, I hit the wrong button. Sorry, hold on there, Mike. It's inexcusable in the game. You're trying to hurt other people. And, oh, by the way, our team is completely out of control. The most penalized team in the league. We continue to hurt ourselves. And now this is going to hurt us as we push for the play. I mean, like, he called the whole thing out in real time, right there on the field in the moment. I was kind of impressed with that.
Yeah, I'm not a Mayfield fan, but I thought that you got to give him credit for the way he sort of stood up for what's right there.
You know, he easily could have said Mason was asking for it and he started to pull his. I mean, he could have done all that sort of excuse making. He didn't.
No, in fact, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, I think Baker Mayfield's a punk. I do. But last night, I thought he really stood up and was mature about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think
a real adult about it.
Same with, if you can believe it, Odell Beckham and Landry. They were, I guess this is on the NFL Network set right after the game on the field. This is Beckham and Landry. I'll play it to you when we come back. I don't want to be late. But I was, you know, sort of impressed with the Browns' reaction. What is your reaction to last night? That's the lead topic here on an Agenda-Free Friday, which is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. To your calls after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Mez, 95, the Sports Hub.
This is the same guy that was knocked unconscious, and you hit him in the same head again. And to me, it's an act. If I'm Mason Rudolph, if I'm the Steelers, if I'm anybody in the Pittsburgh organization, the Rooney family, I'm not leaving Cleveland until we file charges. I don't care whether it's misdemeanor, whatever it is. I'm filing charges because the intent of Myles Garrett when he took the helmet and he used it as a weapon was to hurt Mason Rudolph. And to me, that's when you cross the line from the sport that I love, from the sport that I played for 9 years to be a competitor. So you cross the line to doing something else. He violated the code, man. You ask anybody. That's why all the former players are up in arms, because we don't do that. We protect each other. We pray for each other when the game is over, because we are husbands, we are sons. We have to go back to our families. And you took the helmet and you tried to hurt this man. I don't care what he did. I don't care what he said. I don't care what happened between the play. We as football players, we as a part of the 1,600 players in that fraternity every year, we don't do that.
That's Booger McFarland. Says the Steelers shouldn't have left town without filing charges. The Steelers.
Jimmy, can you pull me up again?
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Oh, yeah, no, he's got to go to jail. And he's got to serve 20 years. It was a heat of the moment thing. It got crazy. He's fine. Again, we're not talking about something that was premeditated like McSorley on Donald Brashear. Like that. You want to say criminal charges? Yeah, I'm all for that. Like that was premeditated, true intent to injure. This was heat of the moment. It got crazy. He got lucky. They didn't really hurt Mason Rudolph, but it was nothing more than that. So calm down, dear. You'll be okay.
I'll tell you what, though. There's been a lot of this. Booger's not the only one. I mean, NFL players across the board, a lot of them are really condemning this guy.
I have no problem with condemning him.
We're
going to jail him?
No. That's too much. I was going to say, I disagree with Booger McFarland. I'm surprised that as many players responded the way they did. And I say that only as because the game's violent. It's a violent game, and they all lose their cool at some point, or at least many of them do. And so to see it, and I'm not justifying the action, but leave town without filing charges? Like, what are we, Montreal now?
Yeah.
But you made the point that is the biggest thing in the whole thing. If Mason Rudolph got injured.
Oh, yeah, he would be charged.
The whole thing would be totally different.
If he were lying there, if he got knocked out.
Would be totally different.
If he opened up a gash or if there was bleeding and it came through on TV. Oh, yeah.
Garrett did. He got lucky. If there were an injury resulted from this. Forget it. He's done for a year.
Okay, your calls. Chris in the car. Should he be
more,
legally,
maybe more.
Should he be legally charged?
Yes, he should. Here's why. And the NFL is going to get dragged into this. All the science into making that helmet safer for the player safety protocol makes it a more dangerous weapon in the opposite direction. And he yanked on that helmet like four times. Like, this is crazy. He's totally going to get charged.
Okay, I don't think he should. Slippery slope. I mean, I even think the McSorley thing was borderline. And I've still never. Have you ever seen a video of the Cicerelli? Didn't that?
I'm sure I have. I don't remember.
So I got to freshen up on all that. But it's just, to me, what I worry about is the slippery slope. So now you're going to criminally charge that. Do you criminally charge Demarius Randle for the headshot, for the ear hole shot that, you know, sent the guy to the tent? And then do you criminally charge someone who kicked someone, and then you criminally, like, that's what I'm sort of worried about.
I mean, the Demarius Randle thing I thought was vicious in real time. As soon as it happened, I went, oh, there's a flag. Like, and then when I saw the helmet come off and Deontay Johnson was bleeding, my stomach turned, bleeding from the ear. I mean, that's the one that makes you sick. Like, you go, oh, God.
And that was Cleveland's mindset going into that game. I think it's pretty clear.
Oh, it was vicious. It was vicious all night.
So they, you know, that was like the Steelers-Bengals, that playoff game, the Bontez Burfict game on Antonio Brown. And I think that was Cleveland's mindset. I really do. And so Freddie Kitchens was asked about this after the game, Jimmy. Can we play this? So Kitchens was asked about his team being out of control, which I think they kind of were. And here's this exchange from the Kittens here.
Freddie, there were a couple of helmet-to-helmet hits, too, another ejection. Do you think there's a systemic problem on your team?
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to understand what you said, so tell me what you want to. Just ask me point blank what you're asking.
Do you think the team's out of control?
No. I think people get helmet-to-helmet contacts every week. I think Miles wishes he had used better composure with 5 seconds to go in the game.
Okay, so I felt that was a little bit of an excuse making there.
This guy's got to go.
So Kittens has to go. He did call it embarrassing after the game. Okay, so he did. I haven't heard the sound yet, but he is quoted as saying it was embarrassing after the game. But this guy's got to go.
Yeah, he's got to go.
His players are running around trying to take guys out.
He's part of the problem. His team's out of control. They've been out of control all year. It's just now it's getting worse, and it's affecting other teams, not just his own. He's got to go. This guy's a clown. He's a clown. Get rid of him.
Dana in Plymouth, your thoughts.
Hey, Murray's opening take was awesome. That was the best thing I heard Friday. That made my Friday that much better. But what I thought last night was Mason Rudolph's hand was stuck in Garrett's helmet, which nobody's talking about. And Schefter brought it up this morning. He said he heard it through somebody in the NFL about his hand being stuck. So I think that's what prompted the whole thing. But that last call with the guy, don't feed into people talking about charges today, man. I can't deal with that. It was a fight. It happened. Baseball fight. Someone could punch someone and knock him out. I don't know, but I think it started over. Garrett doesn't have a history of violence.
No.
Either, does he?
He doesn't.
Well, he's
I don't think so either. If you look at Mason's hand, I feel like it was almost a finger was stuck and he was trying to pull it back, and I think Garrett took it a little too far.
Oh, yeah, he did. He took it a little too far. Does Garrett have a history?
No, so I was going to say, not of doing that.
And the other side of this, too, that I'm a little annoyed with.
How many personal fouls does he have this year, though?
Well, I don't know about that, but people are trying to defend it while saying, well, you know, off the field, he's quiet and he writes poetry. Yeah, and OJ was adorable in those Hertz commercials. Like, you don't know what lies underneath. Maybe he does have a violent streak and bloodlust.
Yeah, all I'm telling you is they showed something this morning on ESPN where I think he's got, like, I don't know, a bunch of personal fouls, landing on the quarterback, hitting the quarterback late. Like, he feels to me like he plays on the edge, and which is fine. I mean, there's a lot of guys who do that. But if you're going to do that, then there's sort of a pattern, and you have a little bit of a reputation, and then something like this happens, you don't get the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, in baseball, hasn't there been a couple incidents where the guy came out with a bat?
Yeah, in fact, there was one.
And did that get criminal? Because, again, when you use the stick or the bat, and in this case, a helmet, which we've never seen before, but when you are wielding that as a weapon, that, I think, is what brings in, you know, criminality, which, I still don't think it should be, but that's the line of demarcation.
So I'll tell you what, I'll Google it here. I'll do it during the break.
And didn't Jose Offerman?
Yeah, I was going to say Offerman.
It was an independent league game, I think it was. I don't even think it was a minor league game. He went out and tried to hit a guy with a bat, and I do think that there were criminal charges brought in that.
So that's what sort of gets the attention.
Yeah, Bert Campanaris once famously, and I want to say it was a postseason game.
Okay, so Bert Campanaris.
Yeah, Bert Campanaris whipped the bat at the pitcher.
So
here's the Offerman thing. A minor league baseball player hit by former major leaguer Jose Offerman in 2007, baseball bat attack, and won nearly $1 million in a lawsuit.
Yeah.
No, so that's a civil thing. Was he criminally charged?
No, it doesn't say that it was.
So, and Bert Campanaris, was he criminally charged?
I don't think he was.
And not to get too fine about the thing, but throwing it at him.
He whipped it at him.
It's different, though. That's different than having it in your hand and clubbing him with it.
It is. He whipped it, though. I'm going to look at it. Trot Nixon once flicked the bat out towards the mound and it rolled out there, like threw it at the pitcher's legs. And you'll see that every once in a long while, a guy will get pissed off, get thrown at, and kind of fling the bat towards the mound. Campanaris stood up and whipped it like a helicopter over the pitcher's head. So I'll look it up during the break. But I don't. My recollection is that I thought Offerman led to criminal charges. I'm not sure the other stuff did.
Joe in New Hampshire, your thoughts?
Yeah, hey guys. Hey, listen. God bless the Cleveland Browns for finally giving me a Thursday night football game that was actually interesting to watch. At the end of the day, hockey players fight, baseball players fight, basketball players pretend to fight. Why can't football players fight? Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay. I mean, I hear you. I'm with Murray. I don't need the hand-wringing. I also don't need the excuse, so I guess I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't need the excuse-making for Garrett. You can't. There is nothing that justifies trying to crack someone over the head, over the skull, with one of those helmets. Okay, there is no. And so he has been suspended indefinitely, which really means the year, which means it's the longest suspension for such a thing in the history of the National Football League. Okay, isn't that enough? Like, to me, that makes sense. He will be. I think Haynesworth right now for the 5 games for when he sculled the guy, when he stomped on the guy. It got 5 games. This will be at least 6 games, more if they make the playoffs. And who knows into next year, but, you know, at least 6 games, which is the longest suspension in NFL history. I think that's fair. I don't know if it needs to be anything more than that.
Yeah,
I don't know why it needs to be any more than that. If it's already the longest in NFL history, you're saying that's the most egregious act in NFL history, which it probably isn't. But isn't that statement, and what more statement do you need than that?
Yeah, I don't know that you do. Again, instinctively, I thought, you're done for the year, pal. See you later. You're not playing again this year. And it never crossed my mind to go into next year. And again, if he had hurt Rudolph.
Different.
Then my instinct might have been, you know what, you're not playing the rest of this year, and you're not playing next year either.
Should it be different? I'll answer it. It shouldn't be different. Because the intent is the intent, and the act is the same.
But it is.
But it just is. It just is. Rudolph was just fine. Not even really a scratch.
I mean, we take it as a warning is what we take it. And I mean, comprehensively. I don't mean a warning to Garrett. I mean that we all look at it and go, that's a good lesson. Like, and we walk away from it and say, nobody's really the worst for wear. He can't play this year again. Obviously, he's not going to. Into next year, my instinct is no. If there had been an injury, I'd probably feel differently.
Okay, more your reaction. We can talk about other things, too. By all means, we have some other subjects on the board. It is an agenda-free Friday, so your call's on everything after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 95, the Sports Hub.
It's been called embarrassing by your coach, and I think player. I mean, you think that's a fair description of?
Absolutely. That is embarrassing. Now, what I did was foolish, and I shouldn't allow myself to slip like that. Out of character, but situation like that where, you know, it's an emotional game, like Larry said, and allow myself to fall into those emotions, you know, with that last play and what happened.
That was Myles Garrett himself after the game. So he took ownership of it pretty immediately. Says it's fair to call it embarrassing. His statement today, whether he wrote it or not, to me is immaterial. You know, he put his name to it, so it's him. I'm fine if someone else wrote it. His statement said, "Last night I made a terrible mistake. I lost my cool, and what I did was selfish and unacceptable. I know that we are all responsible for our actions, and I can only prove my true character through my actions moving forward. I want to apologize to Mason Rudolph, my teammates, our entire organization, our fans, and to the NFL. I know I have to be accountable for what happened, learn from my mistake, and I fully intend to do so." He's also going to appeal it. So, I mean, I don't know if that's not taking accountability for his actions, but I mean, it's his right to appeal it. There's a lot of money on the line for him. So I guess that's his right. But is that fully taking responsibility for what happened by appealing the thing?
Yeah. So, look, the words often mean nothing to me. It becomes a PR game after this. And look, some of the things in there are the right statement. Okay. I would have added the Pittsburgh Steelers in there. Just my two cents.
Yeah.
Okay, but again, now I'm nitpicking at the statement. But the reality is, when you do something like this, you never live it down. It's stuck with you forever. And the only way that Garrett does live it down is if he has a pristine career going forward and he presents himself as one of the more reputable guys in the league for a long, long time.
And that's all you can ask for. But there are people out there that want him banned from the league and to never be able to earn a living ever again in the NFL. And those people I find ridiculous.
Yeah, again, look, I'm not telling you it's right either, Mike, but the actual, what's the word I'm looking for? The consequence of the act is significant. It's significant in how we judge it. And if someone had been really hurt, then I think it opens doors for all kinds of possibilities.
I mean, I just think there's a fair amount.
He got lucky.
He's also been punished more than any player in the history of the National Football League. So, by definition, you're saying this is the most heinous act ever perpetrated on an NFL football field. And it's probably not. It's probably not the most heinous act ever perpetrated on an NFL football field, but that's how the league is handling it. And you want more? Should we picket the thing? Like, I mean, this is to Murray's point. What do you want other than the stiffest penalty in the history of the National Football League?
Life in prison. the old Ted Sarandis, you know, like, what is it?
Two nights in jail. $5,000 fine, and you can never attend another sporting event in Boston in the history of it.
Like, banned for life.
That's too light. Yeah, banned for life, never able to earn a paycheck in the NFL again, life in prison.
This guy's lucky that he didn't really connect. I mean, he did.
Absolutely lucky.
He is lucky. If he hit him in the face and really blasted him and his face split open, or forget it, he'd be cooked.
Yep. But be that as it may, so he got lucky, and it is what it is. The guy wasn't hurt, and he's been punished more than any player in the history of the league. All right, so back to your calls on this and everything else. It is Agenda Free Friday, so other things are on the board. Brian in San Diego, though, what's your thoughts on this?
So, guys, I wanted to talk about the Todd Bertuzzi-Steve Orr incident in relation to this. So you're talking about how this guy, how he didn't get hurt. Steve Moore. Todd Bertuzzi ended Steve Moore's career that day when he knocked him on the ice and he broke his neck. And you know what he got? he got the fourth longest suspension in NHL history at the time in 2004. And this was maybe and you know why he.
So what's your point, Brian? What's your point?
My point is, it's a violent game. Maz said it. Why are we hating on this guy now? Because it's 2019 and think times have changed. Sure, but this guy ended a guy's career and he was able to play hockey again in the same league. Why are we all of a sudden now doing this to somebody else who didn't really have the same impact on a player?
Right. So you're saying everybody calm down. It used to be much worse. Is your point, which is true. The Bertuzzi thing was probably light in hindsight. And what made that different is that was truly premeditated. I think his coach got implicated too. Like, he got sent out to take that guy down and he took him down. That's not what happened here. This was a play got out of hand. He got all fired up because he got the other guy was trying to take his helmet off. And in the heat of the moment, crime of passion sort of thing, he lost his cool. It's not like he was sent from the sideline by his coach to take someone out. That's what happened, the Bertuzzi thing. That's what made that one as bad as it gets. Steven Stoughton has a Patriots thought on an Agenda Free Friday. Go, Steve.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I think the 03-04 defense is definitely better than the 2019. They can go 15-1, win the Super Bowl, beat the Ravens' point record, and they still won't be better for two reasons. One, you made the point about the personnel being better, and the other one is, I don't know if it's been mentioned before, but the rules were changed because of the 03-04 defense. I don't see any rules getting changed because of this 2019 defense. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, I just think 03-04. The personnel was better. But in defense of the 19 team, the people who had backed this Patriots team would say that 03-04 defense couldn't play the way they wanted to play. Ronnie Harrison couldn't be running around trying to take people's heads off, and Ty Law couldn't clutch and grab like he clutched and grabbed. That, if, you know, in 2019, they wouldn't be allowed to play the way they played back then, which is true. I just think the personnel was better. So, you know, never mind greatest defense in the history of the league. It's not even the greatest defense in the history of the team. I don't even know if it's, you know, top three. I think some of Pete Carroll's defenses were unbelievable. You know, that was
97. They were awesome.
They were off the charts.
You know, guys like Chris Slade and Todd Collins. Forget about those guys. And that
was that the year they lost 7-6 at Pittsburgh.
Correct.
That's the one.
That defense was unbelievable. That year, at the end of that year, that might have been the best I've ever seen the Patriots defense play.
Teddy Johnson in his prime. Lauren Malloy in it. Was Malloy still on that team? You know, that was Ty Law when he got there. Todd Collins. You know, that was. I'd say the personnel on that defense was better than this one.
Yeah, this one doesn't have the same talent. Rules or no rules. Just give me Ty Law, Rodney Harrison, and Richard Seymour. I'll take those guys in any era.
Jake in Boston, quickly, give me a Red Sox take here on Agenda Free Friday.
Listen, I'm not letting you turn this into 4 hours of Myles Garrett.
Then go. That's what I'm telling you. Do it.
Alex Cora may be the biggest cheater in baseball history. Here are the facts. Belichick went to 6 Super Bowls since Viking. But before 2019, MLB decided to eliminate the unsanctioned cameras between the foul balls, broadcast all the in-stadium TVs on an 8-second delay, and have an official sitting in replay booth off the dugout. And what do you know? Alex Cora's team finishes 25 games worse than the previous season. He knew who the Astros guy was in the dugout before the ALCS at Fenway. His team then went on to collect 18 of 40 hits in that series with two outs. That's not even beyond the realm of possibility. That is completely suspicious.
Okay. Is Alex Cora a bigger cheater than Bill Belichick?
I wouldn't rule it out. Yeah. I wouldn't rule it out. But I would also tell you that, you know, this year, the Red Sox still hit.
And they still hit at home.
Yeah, and they didn't pitch.
They didn't win at home, but they hit at home.
Right, they hit. They just didn't pitch. So I don't know, can you sign steal from the pitcher's mouth? Like, it doesn't seem to work, right? Like, I don't know, maybe the other team has a monitor too now? Like, I wonder about that.
But wasn't there a new story today where Hinch, Cora, and Beltran were directly implicated that those were the three ringleaders, and they I thought there was fresh reporting on that today.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I saw some of that yesterday. Cora and Beltran were central to it. Yeah, they were central to it. I mean, again, I don't think there's any question it was going on here. Okay, and it might still be.
We continue with all your thoughts on whatever you want, because it is ultimately agenda-free. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No.
Yes!
No.
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 95, The Sports Hub.
He runs up the field and gets out of bounds, but that is not a first down pickup, and it's far short.
Oh, we got reaction.
Uh-oh, we got flags.
Oh, Mason. Oh! Oh!
And the Steelers, uh-oh, we got a kick in the end zone by a Steeler. And I got the kick to the head.
He hit him with a, he tried to hit him with a helmet. He tried to hit Mason with the helmet.
Well, this just sets the stage for
the rematch.
The rematch.
Yeah, it does.
That Steelers radio, for crying out loud, the first thing they think of is a rematch. It's funny. We had the Cleveland call. They don't even mention. The Cleveland radio call does not even mention Miles. I'm sorry. Was that the... So that was the Pittsburgh call. The Cleveland call does not even mention Myles Garrett swinging the helmet. Jimmy, do you want to play it? Can you? Do you mind? So this is a Cleveland call. They don't even mention their player taking the helmet off and clubbing him across the head.
And he takes the snap with 14 seconds to go, and he got hit again. He flares it out. Edmonds catches it. Richardson chases him. Burris now gets in there and knocks him out. And there's a brawl going down inside the 10-yard line. Mason Rudolph and Larry Ogunjobi are going down, and the Steelers are kicking Ogunjobi in the head, and the benchers are coming off the field. Both sides are coming off the field. Marquise Pouncey was kicking Ogunjobi in the head.
Well, I think he'll have next weekend off.
Now, Freddie Kitchens is on the Browns sideline and telling the rest of his team to stay in the bench area. The Steelers only have about 10 guys left in their bench area. And security is out in the end zone, stringing the end zone, making sure the fans don't get out on the field.
So that's Cleveland radio. No mention of Myles Garrett taking off Mason Rudolph's helmet and clubbing him with it. How about that?
I mean, I'll tell you what, just watching the replays again right now, Rudolph saw it coming. He turned his head. You know, like, again, Garrett is so effing lucky in this thing. You can't emphasize that enough. He's going to be lucky getting off with six games and whatever money he loses.
Continue with your thoughts on an Agenda Free Friday. Stan in Medfield. Hi, Stan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So, after I saw this last night, I watched it, and I kind of look at it, and I'm like, Rudolph kind of instigated this whole thing. He started pulling on Garrett's helmet, I thought, because he didn't like the way he was being tackled. Then Garrett, in return, kind of says, oh, you're going to tug at my helmet. I'll show you how to rip a helmet off. Unfortunately, he crossed the line, hit him upside the head with the helmet. On top of it, do you think there'll be any type of assault charges put against him? Like, why wouldn't Rudolph maybe, you know, charge him with assault? He did try to hit him and strike him.
So, a couple things. Did Mason Rudolph sort of start the whole thing? Yeah, kind of.
I hate the fact that people keep bringing this up.
But that doesn't mean that the other guy's justified in ripping his helmet off and clubbing him over the face with it. Like, that's ridiculous. So, yes, Mason Rudolph maybe deserved a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty for trying to rip off. It started by him trying to rip off Garrett's helmet. So Garrett said, okay, you want to rip off a helmet? I'll rip yours off. And you know what? I'm even okay with...
I'm okay with it up to this point.
So, right? So, like, oh, you want to rip off my helmet?
I'll rip off yours.
I'm going to rip yours off, fella. How does that taste? And so I'm fine with Myles Garrett right to that point.
Once he swung the helmet, it was over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, that's... And again, so, like, you know, Rudolph initiated it. So what?
Right.
So what? So that gives the guy the right to take off the helmet and beat him over the head with it?
God.
Like, what are we getting stupid here?
So if Mason Rudolph or the Steelers try and press charges, that is a grave mistake.
So what I would do if I were Rudolph...
Mason Rudolph cannot do that.
So apparently there's a story out there that his agent says they haven't decided yet.
Yeah, they're looking at it, yeah.
Okay, so if I'm him, take the high road. Take the high road. Say, hey, look, it's an emotional game. I hope it never happens again to anybody, and I hope Miles learns from it. You know, I don't know if I want to talk to him right now, but maybe at some point we will. Okay, but no, I'm not going to press charges. We all play football, but that can't happen. We all know it. Boom, done.
Right. You don't start. If he files charges, he might even be in trouble in his own locker room. Like, come on, man.
Yeah,
like,
see, that's not what we're doing. So I think it would be, I do. I think it would hurt him, believe it or not, to bring charges here. I do.
Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. It's old fashioned football. I love it. You know, that's when I was a kid. But I want to say right now that I think that if there's no time on the clock, it could be a charge, you know, if depending on the other guy, if he wants to charge them. But I'm going to say that was an act, you know, an aggression that was beyond what we were going through in the NFL this year.
All right, Paul, you know, your first part of your call, let's not, I mean, we all sort of like the violence. I do too. I admit it. But let's not let, you know, be so eager to celebrate the fact, you know, I mean, he really, really could have hurt the guy for life. And he's lucky that he didn't. So, like, let's just be a little careful about celebrating that violence, you know. And I'm not going to, like, get on my high horse. There's part of me that likes that stuff, too. And when I say that stuff, I'm talking generic. The hate and the passion and some violence. Like, I'm into all of that. I am not going to feel good about this guy trying to, you know, end a guy's career, which is easily what it could have done, if not seriously hurt him for life. So let's go easy with that. And I think whether it happened with the clock running before the game or after the game, the criminality, I don't think matters. These other things we're talking about, the Jose Offerman thing or the McSorley thing or the Ciccarelli thing, that all happened in the middle of the game. So I don't think that matters.
No, the clock doesn't matter at all. It's immaterial. I mean, again, it's all about the act and the, you know, the intent and barbaric nature of the act. Like, in all honesty, again, I thought that Deontay Johnson hit. What's the defensive back's name?
It's Randall.
That hit, I thought, was also really bad. Again, in real time, I went, oh, my gosh. Like, that's the one they're trying to get rid of. That one broke every rule in the book. Defenseless receiver, helmet to helmet, you know, just lining him up and absolutely knocking him into next week.
That was gross. And then, so, it was Demaryius Randall, the safety defensive back there in Cleveland.
He deserved to get tossed.
Deontay Johnson is the player he hit. As Deontay Johnson's going to the bench, he's bleeding out the ear.
From his right ear.
Oh, God.
Again, when I saw that, my stomach turned. I got sick. Not literally, but you know what I mean. My stomach turned. I went, oh. Like, and in real time, this was not a replay thing. It was late. He lined him up.
Oh, and the sound it made, the whole thing.
Absolutely obliterated him. He lined him up to knock him into next week. They couldn't kick that guy's ass out of the game fast enough, if you ask me.
And this is after they took out Juju Smith-Schuster.
Correct.
With another. So Cleveland came in with some, they were headhunting in that game. They were. So I'm not surprised that Garrett actually crossed the line, because I think they had that mindset going into the thing.
And the coach has got to go. He's got to go. They've been undisciplined all year long. It has shown up on the field all year long in penalties and turnovers, and now they're starting to hurt other people. So again, I'm fine with stupidity if the only one you're hurting is you. Have a blast. Do whatever the hell you want. Once you start hurting other people, you're out.
Okay.
You're out.
Here's the update. There is breaking news today in the NFL on the Garrett situation. Punishments have come down. The details here with Murray. There's no commercials, just 90 seconds for this update. Then we come back and discuss everything here on Agenda Free Friday. I'm also going to give you a giveaway. I got something for free for you folks, which I know that you like. So a giveaway coming up as well after the top of the hour. Most importantly, no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.